Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk on this Thursday, March 21st. It's The Buckmaster Show. You're listening to a station that really believes in local talk. We've got it for you 24-7. All of the Buckmaster shows, speaking of 24-7, are available, first of all, with a live stream. You can hear the program at buckmastershow.com. Then, of course, we've got all of the podcasts available for you. The live line number 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, please do. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Councilman Cunningham, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Great to be here.
How are things winding down for your school year, I guess?
Well, we finished our fourth quarter. My class has a World War II project in the third quarter that we work on, and it was really exciting this year. A lot of the kids, I think, did a great job. I'm really proud of them. We had one kid who contacted Harry Truman's granddaughter, I believe, grandson. We had one kid who spoke, who did it. I don't know if anybody knows this, but there's a baseball player named Yogi Berra who actually stormed the beach at Normandy. He was on a Navy ship at Normandy.
What?
So this girl, yeah, I never knew that about Yogi Berra until this year. I've been teaching World War II for 7 years. And so this girl did her project on Major League Baseball players who served in World War II. And she interviewed the director of the museum and Yogi Berra's granddaughter. And it was a really cool project for these eighth graders. You know, it's a lot different than when we were kids, where you look things up in encyclopedias. The kids now, you know, email family members directly, and it was gets oral histories, and it was pretty neat. So I had one kid actually he did his project on the Bataan Death March, and there's a state National Guard event in New Mexico every year to commemorate the Bataan Death March, and this kid actually signed up to go participate there.
So
I really had some neat kids who did they did their own research, they did their own field work, and we had some really neat projects. Really proud of my students this year.
Yeah, I could talk for an hour about World War II history. I'm kind of a World War II history buff, and most people nowadays don't know about the Bataan Death March in 1942, but they should. It should be a part of every school curriculum, believe me. The brave men and women of the United States and the Philippine Army and what they did in that holding action in the Philippines against all odds, holding out for 4 months. Really an incredible story. But anyway, I want to talk about Tucson will become an e-scooter town as of July 1st. The council officially signed off on this project. Are you worried during that six-month period about liability and accidents, Paul Cunningham?
We've tried to insulate ourselves as much as possible, but I would be lying if I would say I'm not worried. I would be lying if I'm not saying I'm worried about it big time. There's so much controversy that goes into these things. I just couldn't get around one thing, and that is that every single city that didn't like him or hated him or whatever had gone back and given him another try, in some cases two or three tries with new regulations. Now, we tried to incorporate all those in. But I was thinking to myself, why would these cities continue to keep trying to make scooters available to people unless they actually serve some public good? So that was kind of where my thought process went. It's a six-month project, and if this thing is a disaster, even in the first 6 weeks, I'll be the first guy to say, no, 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 we're out. But I went on this show before. Last summer I went to San Diego and actually got to ride on them firsthand and seen some of the public good part, and that was it. So there's no I just want to try to give this thing a chance to see if it serves a public need. It also makes a little money for the city, which is always a good thing. So, you know, that's kind of where my head's at on this. And I'd be lying if I'd say I'm not worried that, you know, we're going to have an accident, or we're going to have three scooters obstructing the streetcar or something like that, and it's going to be a big to-do, and there'll be a lot of I told you so's and what have you's. And I just say, hey, I want to just kind of check it out, and see how good or bad this is. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If we're not a scooter town, I'm not going to, bargain my entire career and everything on whether or not we should be a scooter town.
You said something a few moments ago that caught my ear on this. I thought there were no outs. In other words, you would have to do the whole 6 months. Now, you said after 6 weeks, you would be willing, if something like major happened, or you'd be willing to pull the plug. Is there an out in the contract?
Absolutely. There are several.
Oh, okay.
So we wouldn't have voted. I wouldn't have voted yes if there wasn't an NFL.
All right. Well, let's see if we can cover a couple of more topics here. I've only got about 5 minutes, have sort of a shortened segment with you today. You're no on this sanctuary city thing, aren't you?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is that ideologically there's some good human rights pieces to it, and that does make sense to me. But on the some of the things that we're doing with regard to some of these families is not good. That the United States is doing, not specifically the city of Tucson. But when they wrote this initiative, they didn't even collaborate with any of the city council members to say, hey, what can we do? What would make sense? What would help our police department so that they're not caught in between two jurisdictions and two different sets of laws? And we just didn't get that type of collaboration. So I'm out on that one. I think it's very well intentioned, and a lot of the ideological pieces is consistent with my own ideological beliefs. But in this case, this isn't the right way to go about it.
We've got the budget here coming up very soon. The fiscal year ends July the 1st, so budget proposals now are on the table. Give me the overall picture, Paul Cunningham. What's the bottom line for the 2019-2020 fiscal year budget?
This 1920 closing out the 18-19 fiscal year and beginning the 1920 budget process. Some neat things are going on. Number one,
2020.
Our spending
2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. FY20 is fiscal year really 1920.
Okay.
And we're at the end of fiscial year 18-19.
Gotcha.
If you will.
All right.
Okay. So we end this fiscal year July 1st. Our July 1st projections put us about 14 or 15 million north of where we were going to be. We were about 15 or 16 million south of what we were going to spend. So we were 30 million or so to the good. We've actually invested some of that leftover money already into retiring some future debt faster and put 12 million into starting some of the things on the park bond a year early. So those are some cool things that we were able to do this year. The city has done a lot of, we're going to come in around $538 million to give you an idea of what kind of increase that is. 5 years ago, our general fund, sales tax revenues, and the economy of the city of Tucson only produced a general fund of about $440 million. So we've gone $100 million better in sales tax collections. That's pretty good. That's pretty darn good. I'm happy about those things. We've been able to put in some retention pieces for our employees. We had a lot of gaps in that. I'm happy to say that one of those gaps that was really rough was we lost a significant number of police officers in a year and a half's time, and several of them have actually returned to the city of Tucson, which is a really neat thing. That's a good thing. That's a very positive. And we're helping get that force readiness count up and that daily street count up for our first responders. I think also this budget, you'll see some capital investments, like actual capital investments from the general fund. There was a four-year period in my first 4 years in office where the money we collected, we were just trying to stay afloat, and we were being very reactive, and now we can actually put money into capital improvements. So I'm really happy to see all those things that have happened. I think a lot of that is a result of we made the bureaucracy part a lot more efficient. We combine general services and environmental service. That saves us like $7 million a year.
Wow.
We got more, 5.1. I think it's actually 5.1, but I'll get the numbers right for you. We save another 2.1 because we finance, we consolidate all our finance departments. And this is really important stuff. That it's boring and it's wonky and nobody really cares. But this is why the city of Tucson has had a really glorious, I'd say, 3 years. We're on a bit of a winning streak. We want to keep it going. And I think this budget, again, will be very responsible. And it'll keep us on the right track with high service delivery and continuing to address some of the needs left over from the recession.
All right, Paul, I am out of time. Paul Cunningham, we had Paul Durham, your colleague, on the program last week talking about Steve Farley. He's endorsing Steve for mayor. Have you made a decision? Will you be making an endorsement?
I have not made a decision on that yet.
All right. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. Let you get back to your classroom. Thank you for what you're doing with that World War II unit, teaching the students about the greatest generation. Thank you very much, Paul.
Bill, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure and an honor. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum is standing in the wings, actually waiting in the wings telephonically. But first, a quick mention, and this I'm so excited about Mona's Danish Bakery. Yes, it's coming. The hot breakfast, probably a week or so. You know, you got to get all the permits and get all the equipment in. It's a process, but the hot breakfast is coming to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve's been so busy with all these enhancements to his business. It's really going well. Open now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com. Stop by right now. Have a sandwich. The bread, oh, my goodness, that bread that they have, it's just a couple hours out of the oven, such a wide variety. Check out Mona's. Keith Rosenblum, he's next. It's the 100-day, a little bit more than 100 days, for the new Mexican president. How is he doing? We'll have Mr. Rosenblum give us a letter grade for the new president right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
1220 on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster, Keith Rosenblum, one of our couple of dozen great contributors to this program who appear on the show on a regular basis. Keith covers the border for us in Mexico. Keith, letter grade for the new president of Mexico, who just about the first 100 days or so. How are you doing, by the way?
Bill, on the streets of Nogales, Mexico, which I do just to get a flavor for things prior to talking to you.
Good for you.
And so far as your question is concerned, the report card has a couple of categories, okay? So, López Obrador, who I have never been a fan of, gets the following grade. He gets an A on dealing with his public. Rarely have I seen somebody so win over the masses in such a short period of time as he has in, what, 3 or 4 months. The guy just, he's ubiquitous. And he speaks a language to his people, and he does it every day. You can't get, it's almost like he's, like it's back to those López Obrador 24/7. I can't escape the guy. He's espousing on any topic you can come up with. I think if you want to ask him about the future of radio in the United States, he probably has an opinion about that as well. He's just there. So he holds these press conferences every day at 6 a.m. Mexico City time. So any of your listeners, by the way, don't depend on me anyway. Tell your listeners to get on their Facebook accounts, find out whatever whoever is transmitting López Obrador. Just put in a Google search probably that says Facebook López Obrador Live, and they'll be able to hear him, I think it's 6 days a week. He actually has these long, I don't know how to describe it, except for the long, if you go back to the fireside chats of Roosevelt, or you go to the Jimmy Carter when he had the sweater on, he's talking from his study about, you know, the need to not use fuel. The guy's all, he's just all over. Anyway, he does a great job. He's a very simple speaker. Not only is he a simple speaker, I think he also is a goofy speaker sometimes, but who cares? He's there talking to people, and the content of the message is sometimes secondary to the fact that he's just there speaking on any topic. So he gets an A because he has taken on a lot of people. He's done a great job of making government open, which Mexicans are not known for. Like they're known for the contrary. So he gets an A in the area of dealing with his public and enjoying a really strong public support. He gets a C or a D still in actual political decisions made. He's supported, for whatever weird reason, he stood behind Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, which is a weird thing to do today because it puts him in the minority, and you know, why are you going to support a guy who's illegitimate? So that was freaky, and even the Mexicans have been struggling to figure out why you would have supported Hugo Chavez and why you would now support Nicolas Maduro. And also, you know, in contrast to the U.S. policy, which is the right one, which is to recognize somebody other than Maduro, in this case, Juan, whatever his name is, the guy's name who's from the Congress of Venezuela. His cancellation of the airport project. No, it wasn't you. The cancellation of the airport project. He cost Mexico ratings in the bond market, and it was a gutsy decision. And whether you agree with it or disagree with it, that was him asserting his prerogative as president to say, or take all this money we've already invested in a huge national project and basically toss it out because I don't approve of it. Hmm. So in that area, then he also, he's cut off, he's made it clear that Mexico is not going to import fuel. He wants to build his own refinery. There's a number of policies that are very nationalist, and so they don't make economic sense, and they might end up costing Mexico anyway. So that's a part of the C or D rating that you would get as for actions that have been taken. But again, whenever you analyze Mexico, you look at the totality of the country. That's really had a presidentialism that was the way they were governed for so long. You actually have the Congress, you actually have the courts, but for the longest time, the president was a de facto emperor. And so I think anytime you have there's a certain context, I guess, for all of this. And for to have a president who opens up to you all the time and says, here's what I'm doing today, and here's my cabinet, and nobody's going to earn more than me, and we're going to cancel all these contracts with all these consultants. It's populist, but it's also under the lens or under the scrutiny of a public sector, of a private sector that in 2019 is roaring. And there's just the right combination for people to be optimistic.
Keith, I want to quickly change subjects. I see these full-page ads in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star for the cruises that will start in the Sea of Cortez. Do you have any idea how the bookings are going for these cruises?
I do, Bill, because I called. I have an idea because I called the Secretary of Tourism and Embassy and I said, how are your bookings going for these cruises?
Good.
And they said 40% is already booked, and there's a British company. It's in the name of the company is in the app. I don't remember it. And I'm surprised, not that I matter, because I've never been on a cruise and I don't like them, but I'm surprised that that this company would offer something so long. I don't recall. Isn't it something like an 11-day cruise?
It's 11. They're going to do six trips of 11 days each, beginning December 7th through February 11, 2020. By the way, the company is called Cruise and Maritime Voyages, based in London, England.
I love the fact that they're doing it. They design. I hope people flock to it, and I give them all the credit in the world for offering it, because I think it's going to be, I think the idea of doing it, I would love to. I just remember having 11 days free maybe since I was born. I don't think, you know, 11 days is just a long time. People who go on cruises from to the Bahamas or to Seattle, you know, to Alaska, I don't think go for 11 days. So that would be what they're going to market seems to me to be, that's an eternity. That's like the Odyssey. That's another year. But anyway, they're doing it. You know, they've got, according to the people that I spoke to at in Hermosillo, they had close to half already booked, and they've been promoting it properly. The ship looks beautiful, you can, you know, they'll certainly learn whether the cities on the Sea of Cortez on both sides, on the Baja side and on the mainland side, are equipped to take that number of people who are getting on and off of a boat. But more power to them. I hope that, I would be a customer tomorrow if there were a 3 or 4 day cruise. Maybe we're to Santa Rosalia or Mulegé or somewhere, in La Paz. But 11 days is a long time.
But it's a really beautiful ship, and it's got a great history. It's the 500-passenger, 250-cabin cruise ship, the Astoria, which has had a really great past, and a historic ship that they have completely restored. All more power to them. I think this is really exciting.
So I would help you if you'd like. I'll find out who your contact is in London or wherever they are.
Please do.
You bring them on your show, because I think it's what they're doing is groundbreaking, so to speak, or sea breaking.
It would be a
very cool story.
Please do. I want to talk to these people, Keith, just like I always want to talk to you, but I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Keith Rosenblum. On the streets of Nogales, Keith is one of two dozen contributors, regular contributors. I'm so proud of the team that we have assembled here at Buckmaster. You can see their bios at buckmastershow.com, really covering everything from A to Z. We just added an agriculture contributor. We have a spiritual contributor who's new to the program, a faith and spirituality contributor. So we're trying to really cover all the bases and give you a broad-based radio show every day on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Coming up next, waiting in the wings, telephonically, the Chancellor of Pima Community College and CEO, Lee Lambert. Lee will be with us right after the mid-show break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice. We are trusted local news and talk. It's time for the CEO interview series on Buckmaster, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. It's a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $24.8 billion with 162 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 48,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line, Pima Community College CEO and Chancellor Lee Lambert, who is a big supporter of Sun Corridor. Actually, Chancellor Lambert is a member of the Sun Corridor Inc. Chairman Circle. Chancellor Lambert, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Bill. It's good to be back on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Pima Community College recently has placed real emphasis, Chancellor, on workforce training that meets the needs of our business community. How's that change going, and what's driving it?
Well, I'd say, you know, what's driving it is quite simply this notion of the skills gap. We have known for years that businesses and industry have had challenges finding the talent they need, especially as we accelerate in the future because of the technological revolution, resulting in asking the question, what is the future of work? So I'll give you some data points to really put this in context. So the World Economic Forum projects that 65% of today's first graders will work in jobs that do not currently exist.
Wow.
McKinsey Global Institute said by 2030, one in three U.S. workers will need to learn new skills and find work in new occupations. Mm. And then the Brookings Institute recently said here in Southern Arizona, which covers Tucson and also includes Phoenix in terms of their conversation, 44% of job tasks are already susceptible to automation. So as you can see, we have a major challenge in front of us related to the future of work and the corresponding skills gap. And Pima is here to help address these challenges and turn them into opportunities for the community.
We are really at a crossroads here. That was a staggering figure about today's very young people, how so many of the jobs are not even going to exist in their lifetime that we're doing today. It's amazing, this transformation. And the community college has got to be and will be, I hope, and I know you believe in it, a centerpiece for this workforce training.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about, and so let me back up a second. So the National Skills Coalition is a group based out of Washington, D.C. They did an analysis of all 50 states and what the skills needs are. And then when they looked at Arizona, they classified these skills in high, middle, and low. That the high group is folks who need a bachelor's degree or more. The low group is high school education equivalent. And middle skills is some post-secondary. They find that in the state of Arizona, the gap is the widest in the middle skills category. That speaks directly to the mission of the community colleges and what we do to support business and industry in our respective communities.
All right, so let's drill down into some of these industry areas, Chancellor Lambert, that are important to Southern Arizona and that are certainly are on the radar screen of Pima Community College.
Yes. So when you think about the kinds of areas that are of greatest needs, and remember, Pima can't be all things to all people. So we've taken a very strategic approach to figure out where the investments we can make that would best help the business and industry. So here are some of the areas. Applied technology. So we're going to be building and focusing on the centers of excellence related to applied technology, healthcare, information technology, public safety, and a few other areas as well. So when I zero in on the applied technology areas, we're talking about transportation, manufacturing, and infrastructure. If you isolate to transportation for a moment, aerospace and defense is a large part of the state's economy. In fact, the state's economy in terms of aerospace and defense ranks number 6 nationally. And then when you isolate to the state of Arizona, Some of the largest aerospace defense growth in the state of Arizona has been right here in Tucson, Arizona, accounting for, I think, over 70% of recent growth. And so you think about what we do at Pima with our aviation program located at the Tucson Airport. We're hoping to expand that facility by twice the size, and the governor has placed in his budget a $20 million investment into Pima's aviation program that would meet the needs of that industry right here in our community.
And then there's this collaboration with Caterpillar, Chancellor Lambert, that has been very successful, hasn't it?
Yeah, yes, it has been. In fact, when Caterpillar was looking at moving to Tucson, fortunately, Pima was included in that process, and we were so pleased that we were included, but also that we played a role in helping to attract Caterpillar to the region. So then, fast forward to now, Caterpillar, because of the needs they have, they approached Pima Community College and said, we really need to figure out a way to make sure that our engineers keep pace with the changing nature of the future of work. And so we identified two initial areas, and let me back up for a second. So when you think about engineering education, much of it is on the theoretical side. So when engineers graduate from the universities, they come in and they know engineering conceptually, and they know that very well. The challenge is, how do you take that and convert it into real-world applications? So what they were finding is many of the engineers really didn't have that applied side of the knowledge requirement. So they decided if they could work with Pima and expose their engineers to what does a machinist go through? What does a welder go through? And we're going to be doing other areas as well. So we're bringing them in to learn about basic machining and basic welding.
Wow. So that has been a terrific collaboration. What else is on the horizon?
So we've been working with, and so as you think about the future of work and you think about electrification, you think about autonomous vehicles, and right here in our own backyard, we have a company called Too Simple, and they are an autonomous vehicle trucking-focused company, and they came to us because they realized they had a social responsibility beyond just the technology in terms of its impact to the truck driver. So they realized that their technology is going to displace scores of truck drivers, and what can we do in collaboration to make sure that the truck driver still has a place in this economy? So we've been working with them to define what we will likely be called the Autonomous Driver and Operations Specialist Certificate. And what that simply means is the truck driver will now need to broaden out their skills, which will go beyond just knowing how to operate the truck, but also knowing how to service the truck, but also understanding how to maintain and operate that onboard computer system that's central to the AV aspects, and then also understanding the logistics and trade in which this whole thing is all tied to, right? You're moving goods back and forth, and that's part of the this larger logistics and trade sector, if you will.
Well, the whole, you think about what's happened at Pima just over the last 5 years with this workforce development. I think you've really hit a home run, Chancellor Lambert. I think this is really the new Pima, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's all of our community colleges for all of our communities, right? So when you think about that special place that the community college occupies within our respective communities, and it's very true here in Tucson, Arizona, and Pima County, it's that career technical education space, that middle skill space that we provide the greatest value, not to discount the other parts of our mission, you know, that transfer component of sending folks through us onto the university, that which is also a critical part. But it's the CTE part, that middle skills part, is what our country is really crying for right now in terms of the workforce of today and into the future.
Well, I think it looks very positive for Pima Community College and our community with all of this workforce development. And I know you are a big supporter of Sun Corridor, Inc. You think the mission is on the right track, Chancellor Lambert?
Absolutely. We would not have the Caterpillars here or the Too Simples here if we didn't have Sun Corridor. We need folks who are out there constantly looking to attract, but also support expansions. to work with the governor and the governor's office and the Arizona Commerce Authority to continue to strengthen our region's economy and really the state's economy as well as overall the nation's economy. So they're vital.
Chancellor Lambert, thank you. It's good catching up with you on all these exciting things going on. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Bill, anytime.
Thanks a lot. Lee Lambert is the Chancellor and CEO of Pima Community College. He was our CEO interviewee in the Sun Corridor Inc. series that we do, interviewing all the top CEOs in Southern Arizona. For more information about Sun Corridor Inc., go to suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back, coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, what a great sponsor they have been. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Parks. You've got this 13-acre site, great plants, everything you need for the garden. Now you've got Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. What a great combination. Get your gardening needs and then see all this wonderful material at Zocalo Village, five really freestanding buildings now there at Green Things for Zocalo. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's a great starting place, and we'll see you at Green Things. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented also by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. It's a great part of the Southwest United States. Starting place, I suggest southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a couple of dozen great places to stay, a like number of ideas to recreate, hiking, just exploring historic Silver City, and just kind of hanging out in a really different environment that I know you're going to have a great visit. We send so many of our listeners over there. Everybody comes back and says, Bill, I had a great time. Well, sure you did. It's a great part of the United States. Well, the biological effects of electromagnetic pollution are in the news once again. And the film Generation Zapped, which investigated the potential dangers of prolonged exposure to radio frequencies from wireless technology, will be shown here in Tucson at The Loft. That's coming up actually this weekend, March 24th, this Sunday. And that's a free event. The Tucson-based Electromagnetic Safety Alliance, known as ESA, is sponsoring this event, and their executive director, Elizabeth Kelly, is with us, and we welcome her to the Buckmaster Show. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Bill.
I was not familiar with your organization. Give our listeners a little background about ESA.
Well, the purpose of our organization is to raise awareness about the potential health risks of electromagnetic fields from electrical and wireless sources. And we've been a registered nonprofit federally and in the state for about 10 years now.
Wow. How did you get involved with all of this?
Well, that's a long story. My father was an electrical engineer. Uh-huh. So I grew up kind of following this through my dad. He managed LA Water and Power and was involved in the Colorado Water Project and other resource development in the Southwest. And through him, I gained an interest in electricity. And through my background in public health, I put the two together. In 1996, when the Federal Telecom Act passed and prohibited cities and counties from taking health into account when denying antenna permits. I thought that was wrong, unconstitutional, and should be remedied, and I'm still trying to get that done.
Are you saying that since that passed, basically, citizens cannot file any complaints based on health issues?
They cannot. Local government agencies cannot take their health concerns into account during a permit hearing to site an antenna.
Hmm.
And now with the advent of fifth-generation wireless, where millions of antennas will be put close to buildings around the United States, these exposure conditions are about to get a lot worse for people. So we're raising the health issue again, and we're also bringing in the other issues related to 5G, which include security, privacy, property devaluation, and democracy.
What are some of the health concerns, Elizabeth? Let's go over some of them.
I manage an appeal to the United Nations that have been signed by 240 scientists who have all published in peer-reviewed journals. They've published papers on biological and health effects at very low levels of exposure to electricity and wireless tech. And they have found many health effects and many biological effects, like DNA damage, permutation of the blood-brain barrier within 2 minutes after starting a phone call, a lot of other issues that are commonly taking place today because people are on their phone hours a day and exposing themselves, and children are as well. The film is called Generation Zapped, and it's about children especially, and Dr. Magda Havas will be here from Canada. She's an environmental toxicologist to discuss the science at length and particularly regarding children.
Where'd this movie come from?
The movie was actually financed in part by a former Google executive.
Really?
Who showed it at Google headquarters after it was released. And it's won awards all over the country, including the DC Film Award for Best Picture.
Hmm. Now, the folks that hold a phone, a mobile device, up to their ear, and then there are folks who like to put the device actually in the ear, I wonder if there's a difference there in, as far as potential health effects.
Well, the scientists who signed this appeal to the United Nations are concerned about all the exposure conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The International Agency on Research on Cancer is as well, when they classified radio frequency and electricity as a possible carcinogen. So we are concerned about the cumulative and exposures to combined frequencies, including Bluetooth, where you put a little pod in your ear.
The Bluetooth.
The energy, in fact, with one of those pods can be very effectively deposited inside the ear.
Mm.
So it's better to use a wired headset.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with a lady who is really, this has become kind of your life cause, hasn't it, Elizabeth Kelly?
Yes, it has, Bill. Mm-hmm. It is my life's work.
Mm-hmm. So the movie, this Generation Zapped, you've got a couple of appearances coming up. You've got the Loft event, and then there's going to be not only the movie at the Loft, then there'll be the panel discussion, right?
Yes.
That'll be coming up at, the movie will be shown at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that's Sunday. Then Monday, you'll be at the old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association Town Hall, and that's at 5230 East Fort Lowell. And that, again, is free and open to the public. That's 6:30 to 8. Boy, you're going to be busy here, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Wednesday, you've got, again, you're going to be showing the film at the UA College of Public Health from 4 to 5:15, upcoming Wednesday at Drachman Hall. And I think there's actually going to be one more. Yeah, Thursday, March 28th, at Tucson Jewish Community Center. And that will be also, that will be an event that will, what's that, The Good, Bad, and Ugly, Our Love Affair with Wireless Technology. Is there a place folks can go on the web to kind of see, perhaps they didn't get a chance to write down where these events are? Is there a place they can get more information?
Yes, certainly. They can go to my website, which is, the address is https://emsafetyalliance.org, and this schedule will be posted there.
Maybe they could just Google if they don't get all that. Maybe
they can
just
Google.
Safety Alliance or Electromagnetic Safety Alliance, ESA Tucson, and it will probably come up.
It'll pop right up then.
Yeah. So the research that you've been doing over the 10 years, this is pretty scary stuff, hasn't it?
Yes,
it's really developed.
It concerns me. It concerns the scientists. It concerns the public health people and anyone else that has taken the time to study this science. It's a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that there are biological effects. We know there are mechanisms of effect, that the symptoms people feel, like electrical sensitivity many people feel around these signals, has a physiological basis. It's not merely a psychiatric problem or mental problem. And we're particularly exposed about the children who are today exposed all day long to Wi-Fi in the classroom, to too much screen time, and it just goes on and on.
All right. David was with us on the live line, and we just really did not have time for David's question because we're quickly running out of time here with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, so again, most of these events that I talked about are free, starting with the event at the Loft.
That's correct.
How long is the movie?
47 minutes, followed by a 30-minute presentation and Q&A with Dr. Habas.
Okay. And Dr. Habas, again, has been doing this work. Where?
She's retired now, Professor Emeritus from Trent University, and she's published over 200 papers and travels worldwide to present her science and advocate for more precaution.
So it sounds, and I've got just a few seconds left, it sounds like a real tipping point was that decision. Was it 1986? Is that what you said? Where the as far as the Federal Communications Commission and the health effects of these things?
That was in the 96 Telecommunications
1996.
Act.
Yes, that's right.
But now 5G is being deployed rapidly because of the force of federal regulation and a law in Arizona that preempts local control. That our city officials are going to be at this old Fort Lowell affair next Monday night. The city is sending four people, including from Planning and Development, Transportation, and City Attorney's Office, and the county's sending the zoning administrator, inspector, to discuss what the implications are. They have lost control over planning and zoning due to these new rules.
Wow. It's a fascinating area. I really appreciate Elizabeth Kelly coming in. Thank you very much. And again,
thank
the
you.
Organization Electromagnetic Safety Alliance. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Elizabeth Kelly and Bob Dio, my engineer producer, we hope you have a great afternoon. We've got Steve Rivera waiting in the wings. Eye on the Ball is the name of his show. 1 to 3. Monday through Friday here right after the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.